The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk.
Well, yippee-ti-yi-yay. This is the toothless old grandpa coming at you. This week's show features the Thunderbolt's helpful household hints for proper stormtrooper etiquette.
Thank you, Grandpa. So the job of a soldier is to make war. The job of a police officer is to keep the peace. Astute listeners may have noticed that those two job descriptions are polar opposites. Over the last several years, though, our cops have been becoming a lot more like soldiers, while our soldiers have been becoming a lot more like cops. And this is intentional, because in a police state, both jobs are basically the same. I.e., they are both tools of violent oppression. Thus, pretty much anywhere in the United States, unless you are Mr. White Joe Average Taxpayer Citizen, then if you have a situation that requires a brute force to resolve, in that situation, you may want to call the police. However, that is a very serious decision that the wise person thinks about very carefully. Because if, on the other hand, you have a situation that requires any amount of sensitivity, nuance, intelligence, or sanity, then the police are absolutely the very last people that you want to call.
Jack Rabbit messed up, spawned a new breed of love-hungry pilgrims, nobody's to feed. Show me a good man and I'll show you the door. The last hymn is sung and the devil cries more.
I could literally fill pages with stories from my direct personal experience, wherein there was a situation that was peaceful and presented no problems for anyone until the police arrived. Then, almost instantly, every everything turned to shite and blew up into violence, anger, screaming, and angst. If we're really going to do something about the police, then people need to first understand who they actually are and what they actually are there to do. In order to do that, we must overcome this mystique and aura of righteousness that permeates most Americans' view of the police. Now, this is a meme that has been very consciously implanted into our society by the very same people that use the police to oppress people, because the machine loves making some of their victims brutalize other of their victims, because that keeps our attention off of them. Now, as part of this beatification, we are told that cops risk their lives in order to protect ours. Well, actually, a clerk at a convenience store is 7 times more likely to be killed on the job than a cop is. However, convenience store clerks do not have big parades when they are killed, and they don't have every cop in a 5-state area dropping everything else to catch the perpetrator. There are actually numerous trades that are much more deadly than being a cop.
Well, I'm all for leaving, and that being done, I've put in the request to take up my turn in that forsaken paradise that calls itself hell, where no one has nothing and nothing is well meaningful. Pick up thy bed and rise up from your gloom, smile. Give me your hate and do as the loving heathen do.
There are cops who seem like decent human beings. I have met several.
Colors I've none, dark or light, red, white or blue. Cold as my touch, freezing. Summons by name, I am the overseer of you. Overseer. Given this command to watch over our miserable sphere. To bring sun or rain, occasional corn for my oversight crew.
However, as with any other demographic, it is the ones that cause the pagubliations who get all the notice and attention.
You may ask what am I, all whom live in has a time, but the bin nine.
Whenever a cop does go off the rails, it is written off as a one-off aberration. They cite the bad apple theory.
Legends were born surrounding mysterious lights, seen in the sky flashing. I just lit the fag and then took my leave in the blaze.
According to the bad apple theory, most cops are good, but a very small number of them are not. So in the case of cops and bad apples, I will make this observation. It is true that on a typical city police force, around 3-5% of the cops are generally responsible for around 40% of the complaints. Now, this fact would seem to bolster the bad apple theory. However, all other cops know who these bad apples are, and they still unconditionally have their backs no matter what outrageous behavior they engage in. So what this tells me is that all the other cops accept, if not approve, of said behavior, and this means that the so-called good cops are probably really just too chicken shite to do it themselves. Now, ostensibly, the job of a cop is to solve crimes and to protect good people from bad people. But actually, their job is to protect rich people from poor people and to make sure that both stay that way. Right or wrong, good or bad, often has little, if anything, to do with anything when you are dealing with these people.
Flee the icy Lucifer, oh, he's an awful fellow. What a mistake, I didn't take a feather from his pillow. Here's the everlasting rap, neither am I good nor bad. I'd give up my halo for a horn, and the horn for the hat I once had. I'm only breathing as life on my ceiling, the flies that are sleeping quietly. I would gladly be a dog barking up the wrong tree. Everyone say we're in the grave, see you there for afternoon tea. Time for a waking, a delayed is making a blue of it, making me brave.
Now the police do work to solve crimes, though often they do not do that very well. And they do often take people off the street that should not be there, though they should not be in prison either. No one should be in prison, but whatever. The central focus and primary purpose of the modern police force is to maintain the status quo. This means that their central purpose is to quell any popular uprisings or movements that might become a serious problem for the machine. They want us to believe that the reason the police need armored vehicles and military-grade weaponry is so that they can keep the peace.
Pick me up at 9:30. There's not a moment to lose. That is the train on which I came.
Makes me wonder what they are so afraid of.
Station master rings his bell, whistles blow and flags wave. A little of what you fancy does you good, or so it should.
Evidence would seem to indicate that the police are terrified of black people. The modern police force is a direct outgrowth of the old slave-catching gangs, in fact. the racial bias in our criminal justice system is so blatant and so outrageous and so in your face that it should be an insult to the intelligence of every American. In every nook and cranny of our criminally unjust criminal justice system, you see black people vastly overrepresented. They are arrested more often, they're convicted at a higher rate, and they're given longer sentences. Blacks represent 12% of our population who use and sell drugs. But they represent over 60% of the people who are imprisoned for it. Historically, 84% of all the people that have been executed by the state of Alabama have been black. 65% of Alabama's murder victims are also black, but 80% of the people currently on Alabama's death row are there for killing white people.
If they have a dying sign, cross your fingers in the sky, for those about to be. There am I, waiting like a sand, cast your sweet spell upon the land and sea.
Kind of numbers are not at all uncommon, yet this just keeps rolling on unabated over the wasted lives of all these black families.
My best buddy, take your hand from off the chain, loose a wish to still the rain, the storm about to be.
And other than token lip service, with no one in any position of power is doing anything serious to stop it.
Break the circle, stretch the line, call upon the devil, bring the gods, the gods on fire in the conflict to rebel. The passengers upon the ferry crossing, waiting to be born. Renew the pledge of life's long song, rise to the rebellion.
These concerns are almost certainly not academic. I have been expecting for a while now that some major terrorist attack was going to happen, whereupon the government would declare martial law and the mass arrests would begin. I actually expected this to have already happened. But evidently, they do not yet have their ducks in a row. In such a scenario, your quote, constitutional rights, unquote,
Manson
will be suspended, probably permanently.
By the flame of ever life, yours to breathe and breath the flame.
And many normal procedures,
living being,
will probably be null and void.
Away.
And you will probably be on your own.
Into every day.
However, in the meantime, here is the Thunderbolt handy household tips for proper stormtrooper etiquette. If you are arrested, rule number one is do not say anything to the police. Rule number two is do not say anything to the police. Once you have actually been arrested, there is no way to help yourself by talking to the police, and there are thousands of ways to screw yourself. Any deals you make will be with the prosecutor, not with the police. and the police will ignore anything exculpatory that you may say to them, while they have hundreds of tricks they will use to get you to say incriminating things. Never give permission for the police to search your home or your car. You will be eliminating possible future legal recourse, and once you give permission, they will completely trash your belongings, they will read your mail, they will break glassware, they will dump all the contents of your refrigerator out onto the floor, they will punch holes into your walls, and they will cut open your couch cushions. If you have a dog, they will shoot it, whether or not it poses a threat. And if they know in advance that you have a dog, before they enter, they will assign a specific officer with the task of shooting your dog. Then, when they are done, they will leave you to put it all back together without a word of apology. So if you are facing state charges, then you will be engaging in a contest of who has the best lawyer. So you will want to hire the best lawyer that you can afford. If you are facing federal charges, on the other hand, you might as well save your lawyer money, because the feds game is rigged from top to bottom, and you are almost certainly going to go to prison for a long time. That is, unless you are willing to sell your friends to the feds, and sell your soul to the devil, that is. Now, this is especially true since federal judges are merely part of the prosecution team these days, and they will disallow any exculpatory evidence that they can get away with excluding, such as in my case, for instance, when there were cell phone records that would have proved I was hundreds of miles away from where they said I was, but the judge would not postpone the trial long enough for me to obtain them. Since the feds never actually caught me with a single gram of pot, their case was based wholly upon the word of blackmailed and coerced snitches, which means that my cell phone records were the only actual evidence in my case. Now, if you are there for some sort of civil disobedience and/or political action, the judge will not allow you to talk about your motivations. He will not allow you to present a necessity defense. And if you are growing legal medical marijuana, the judge will not allow you to tell that to the jury. Ultimately, the police are merely a reflection of the same underlying problem that underlies nearly all of our problems, i.e., the cultural meme that has been firmly implanted into the American reality bubble, i.e., our view of reality in general and the way we view and treat our fellow human beings in particular. As I have mentioned in several previous Thunderbolts, our plutocratic enemies have literally been using scientific methodology to diligently and effectively implant our current meme into our collective consciousness for over 100 years now. The police are a symptom. they are not the disease. While the issue of police brutality definitely needs to be addressed, this battle needs to be understood as only a small part of the much larger battle of curing the numerous cultural diseases from which our society suffers. Because once we fix that, then everything else will start fixing itself. Rather than spinning our wheels trying to make it illegal for the police to beat and shoot people without a reason, we need to simply make such things unacceptable. And to do that, we need to first find the cure for this cruel, mean-spirited, angry disease which this machine has so thoroughly infected our society. It appears to me that the combined forces of climate change, environmental destruction, mass extinction of species, peak oil, and economic chaos are all about to come together at once into a major shite storm. And it's not gonna be pretty. This means that regardless of what the machine says, humanity is about to be forced into a major transformation in our attitudes and fundamental changes to the very core of how we conduct our business with each other. These transformations are going to happen whether we're ready or not. This could prove to be our golden opportunity if we do get this right. And I don't want to waste it. That means it's time to get to work now, kids.
We're gonna take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute.
The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
Yes. So this week's show is from the archives, and this next piece originally aired in 2015. But before we begin, I should mention that while I was the program manager at KOWA Olympia at that time, I am no longer associated with that institution. Enjoy.
And now I have a shocking Thunderbolt exclusive. It is my grave duty to report that the program manager at KOWA is censoring political information. And in a unique twist upon this particular story, I also happen to be the program manager at KOWA, and thus, not only can I report on the story, but I can also give the official response from KOWA. Now, this is called multitasking. There are no conflicts of interest here, so just keep moving along.
The hare has lost his spectacles.
Well, I have problems of my own. For I just took a bold and naked power grab, and I just unilaterally took a background briefing by Ian Masters off KOWA's air. Last week, I heard Mr. Masters portray Barack Obama as a good man who wants to do the right thing, but who is being prevented from doing so by the evil Republicans, who offer evidence of a pathological hatred of our president that has no basis in fact. While the Republicans do indeed possess a pathological hatred of our president that has no basis in fact, my hatred of our president is based wholly upon fact.
And so I emailed Mr. Masters, and I sent him links to incontrovertible evidence that actually Barack Obama is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Wall Street War Machine. I also sent him links proving that he is mass murdering children with drones and that he is executing people without a trial, meaning that he is, by definition, a mass murdering fascist war criminal. And I told Mr. Masters that if I ever heard him saying crapola like that again on my air, then I would remove him and all memory of him from the KOWA library and from all institutional memory as far as that was humanly and technically possible. Every major media outlet in this country already broadcasts government propaganda. There is absolutely no need for it on my air. Thus, I listened to Background Briefing very carefully this week, and Mr. Masters made a Freudian slip. During an interview, the interviewee mentioned that Afghanistan is landlocked. And Mr. Masters' reply was, yes, this has always impeded our access to Afghanistan. I definitely added that emphasis because Mr. Masters just dropped that pronoun in such a completely matter-of-fact tone as if it weren't even questioned that the Goldman Sachs stormtroopers who had invaded Afghanistan represented us. He also said it with the unquestioned implication that impediments to American access to Afghanistan was a bad thing. Even though I suspect that the vast majority of the Afghanis themselves wish that said access was exponentially more difficult. Thus, I do my civic duty and protect the sensitive ears of my discerning listeners from exposure to unexpected, unwarranted, and unwanted government propaganda. In a ruling that directly affects only the few hundred Americans, and I use the term Americans lightly here, I mean those few hundred Americans who can afford to spend millions of dollars on political campaigns.
They held their heads with laughs of pain. They learned from men who just refrain from glancing at a mirror's pane.
The Supreme Court has just ruled that we are infringing upon the constitutional rights of these few hundred people by limiting their ability to purchase our government. Thus, in their wise benevolence, the Supremes just removed most of the few remaining tattered shards of laws meant to prevent them from purchasing our government.
This time of year, when stars be crossed, about to rain fear, you don't suppose I'd prove surprised?
Now, both Senators Bernie Sanders and John McCain,
seven screaming disbusters,
who, providing evidence for the stop clock theory, is on the right side of this issue and favors campaign finance reform, they generously believe that the Supreme Court is making these decisions out of naivety. I find myself wondering instead if Senators Sanders and McCain are really that naive. Since I don't have to worry about political calculation, then unlike Senator Sanders and McCain, I tend to be rather ungenerous when it comes to the fascists. And since I'm not a politician, I don't have private views that are the opposite of my expressed public views. Here are the facts.
The fact is that all five of the reactionary Supreme Court justices are ex-corporate lawyers. The fact is that all five of the reactionary Supreme Court justices are members of the Federalist Society. And the fact is that the Federalist Society is a front organization for Wall Street. The Federalist Society has been packing the federal courts for decades, i.e. throughout the administrations of Reagan and both the Bushes, or for 28 years between 1980 and 2008, i.e. every time Republicans have been in the White House for the last 34 years. Now, Michael Avery, who is a professor at the Suffolk University Law School, and Danielle McLaughlin, an associate at the law firm Nixon Peabody, studied the Federalist Society, and they estimate that over 45,000 lawyers and law students are involved in society activities. According to Avery and McLaughlin, every single federal judge appointed by the two presidents Bush was either a member or approved by members of the society. Now, this includes Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, John Roberts, and Samuel Alito. Therefore, I think all five of the reactionary Supreme Court justices suffer no illusions at all. I think that all five of the reactionary Supreme Court justices are part of a decades-long right-wing conspiracy to pack the federal courts with fascists, and that all five of the reactionary Supreme Court justices are fully conscious co-conspirators in Wall Street's takeover of our government. This is in everyone's face, and a lot of people have been figuring all of this out lately. Do Senators Sanders and McCain really think that the Supreme Court justices are more naive than most of the common drunks down at the corner bar? No, I'm thinking those bad boys is partying hardy tonight. The fascists do have one vulnerability. Like all vampires, they can't stand the light.
Can't stand the light. Oh no, it's too bright. It's much too bright. Oh no.
We gotta burn the night. We gotta shine a light from above, or they're gonna come crawling out from the darkness below. So I tend to think that God and Satan are metaphors rather than actual beings. But I know whose altar the fascists worship at.
Stand in light, baby. I can't stand it now. Not talking about the light up above. I'm talking about the hellfire down below. That's right. That's a Lucifer light. I said I'm talking about Lucifer. L-U-C-I-F-E-R. I spell it Lucifer.
The wielder of the dark light.
I know Lucifer so well, I call him by his first name.
What do you call him?
I said I call him
Hey Lou.
And if he don't answer,
I said, hey Lou, lover boy.
You don't mean read.
He's gonna come and take you away.
Take you.
Take you away.
Take you.
Oh, no. Bring your friend to our party, huh? It is time to wake up and do something, people. Or you are going to wake up one day soon, wondering where you are going, and wondering why you're in a handbasket. With that, it's time to get to work now. And thus ends part one of The Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It. Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert.
For the week of January 11th to January 17th, 2020! All right, I hope you're ready, because here we go. Our first event is later this morning, Saturday, January 11th. It's the Thurston County Reentry and Advocacy Workshop. This will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Evergreen State College, 2700 Evergreen Parkway Northwest. And it does not say where on the campus, and that's a pretty big campus, so I'm hoping it'll be easy to find. This event was organized by the Civil Survival Project, and this is their message. We are very excited for our next reentry and advocacy workshop on January 11th, hosted by the Justice Involved Student Group at the Evergreen State College. This is a great opportunity to learn about our legal system and the importance of civic engagement. Our mission, Civil Survival, organizes people who have been directly impacted by the criminal justice system to build connections, gain knowledge, and increase political participation. People will be reserving their spot by sending an email to workshop@civilsurvival.org. So again, this is the Thurston County Reentry and Advocacy Workshop, Saturday, January 11th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Evergreen State College, 2700 Evergreen Parkway Northwest. All right. So next is Sunday, January 12th. It's the Olympia Community Solar Annual Meeting. This will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Olympia Community Solar. That's at 108 4th Avenue East. That entrance is right next to the Spar Cafe, and you need to either go up the stairs or up the elevator. This event was organized by Olympia Community Solar, and this is their message. People will be joining the Olympia Community Solar team for our annual meeting. We'll be reflecting on our operations this past year and planning for the year to come. The agenda includes a President's Address Committee reports featuring major projects and milestones, our 2019 financial report, and 2020 Budget Adoption Board of Director Elections Networking Hour. Light refreshments will be provided. The entrance is next to the Spar Cafe. Take the elevator or follow the hallway to the staircase for the second floor. The meeting will take place in the conference room, which will be clearly marked. There are openings for board members, people who would like to work on our great team, learn more about nonprofit development, and grow with the solar industry are submitting their questions and or resume to info@olysol.org. That's OLYSOL.org. I also have a phone number here. That's 360-481-4020. Again, that's 481-4020. That's for information on the Olympia Community Solar Annual Meeting, Sunday, January 12th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Olympia Community Solar, 108 4th Avenue East. Also on Sunday, January 12th, we have Hatch to Hen, Raising Poultry. This will be from noon to 2 p.m. at the East Side Urban Farm and Garden. That's at 2326 4th Avenue East. This event would come under the heading of becoming self-reliant and weaning ourselves from the Wall Street machine. And anyway, this event was organized by the East Side Urban Farm and Garden, and this is their message. This class will cover everything you need to know about raising your chickens from cute little chick to egg-producing hen. People who have always wanted to keep chickens but weren't sure where to begin, this class will give them the information and the confidence they need to get started. They would like you to call the store or stop in to pre-register. You can call them at 360-972-2993. Again, that's 972-2993. Or you can email Eastside Urban Farm and Garden, all one word, all spelled out, at gmail.com. And they have a website here. It's urbanfarmoli.com. So again, this is Hatch to Hen, Raising Poultry, Sunday, January 12th. From noon to 2 p.m. at the East Side Urban Farm and Garden, 2326 4th Avenue East. Also on Sunday, January 12th, we have a film screening, Just Mercy. This will be at 4 p.m. at the Century Theater in the Capitol Mall. That's at 625 Black Lake Boulevard Southwest. I got this message from Wendy. People will be joining us to watch Just Mercy, with a discussion afterward at a nearby restaurant with Dawood Al-Malik, an Olympia resident. In 1966 Seattle, Dawood was sentenced to death by hanging at the age of 19 and spent almost 50 years in Washington state prisons. He has maintained his innocence throughout and continues to pursue exoneration. Released in 2015, he is the longest-serving prisoner ever to have been freed in Washington. The film Just Mercy is the true story of Walter McMillan, a black man framed for the murder of a young white woman in Virginia. There are also other screenings of this film from January 10th through January 15th. And you are asked to RSVP to green-girl@comcast.net. Again, that's green-girl@comcast.net. That's for information on the film screening of Just Mercy, Sunday, January 12th, 4 p.m. at the Century Theater in the Capitol Mall, 625 Black Lake Boulevard Southwest. Okay. So now we jump to Tuesday, January 14th. It's a workplace organizing collective. This will be from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Power Office, and that's at 309 5th Avenue Southeast. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. The Workplace Organizing Collective is a group of Olympia DSA organizers and community members who meet the second Tuesday of every month to teach one another effective, concrete organizing skills to build power at work. Are you fed up with your boss? The collective is open to everyone who wants to improve the lives of their families and communities by organizing for economic justice. Drop-ins are welcome. I have an email address, dsaolympia@gmail.com, or you can go to their website, oledsa.org. So again, this is a workplace organizing collective. Tuesday, January 14th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Power Office, 309 Fifth Avenue Southeast. And that's it for the calendar this week. Got time to slip a quick song in on you. This is Ellen McElwain.
Well, I'm a crow all in gig, sneak a bear, and I rule my dinner. Hey, yes, I'm on you. Well, I'm a crow all in gig, sneak a bear, and I rule my dinner. Hey, yes, I'm on you. Don't you hang around my maid, honey, you see my for my say, hell. Well, you know you got me crawling, Mr. Honey, honey, grass over your eye. Well, I'm just gonna keep on crawling. Now, you know you got me crawling, Mr. When the grass over your eye. Well, I'm just gonna keep on crawling, I bet, till the dead day. Yeah, yeah. And I'm madden, hey, yes, I'm on it. Well, I'm a crow holding king, sing a bear, and I'm madden, hey, yes, I'm on it. Don't you hang around my maid, honey, you see my for my, honey, you see my for myself. La 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 la. I'm a crow holding gigs, think of it, and I rule my den. La 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 la. I'm a crow holding gigs, think of it, and I rule my den. La 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 la. Don't you hang around my maid? When you see my for my, when you see my for myself. La 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 la.
That was Ellen McElwain with Crawling King Snake. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com.
Thank you very much.